Notre Dame Federal Credit Union, a mission-based financial institution that shares the common beliefs of our members and is dedicated to solving problems through extraordinary member service. Where you bank does matter.
The following is a relevant radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at relevantradio.com.
Minutes after the hour, and that means it's time for On Call. On this program, each and every single solitary day on Relevant Radio, we are joined by Catholic clinical psychologists and physicians and authors and experts and spiritual directors, and they join us to help us face life and its many challenges with mature wisdom and confidence, and above all, with our beautiful Catholic faith. I'm your host, Wendy Weiss, and before I introduce today's special guest, let's ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit over this hour. Will you pray with me, please? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructed the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for praying with us. And thank you for welcoming back to the program with me, Dr. Joseph Coyle. Dr. Coyle is a Catholic therapist. He is in private practice in the Boston area in Waltham and Norwell, Massachusetts. He is a licensed psychologist. He offers a psychotherapy in person and over the phone. He is board certified, and he is a Christian counselor. He offers his clients the opportunity to integrate religious and spiritual aspects into their work as appropriate. And his website, if you are in the Massachusetts area, Rhode Island, josephcoyle.com. That's one word, josephcoyle.com. Welcome back, and thank you so much for being here. We always love our visits with you.
Oh, thanks, Wendy. Thanks for having me.
Kind of a bleak report released this week from the World Health Organization about the United States being one of the most depressed countries in the world. And, I mean, we sort of have the anecdotal evidence when we visit, but are you surprised by this?
No, I'm not surprised by it. I'm certainly upset and troubled by it, but I think it definitely fits with the overwhelming number of people that I see that depression is an issue for. You know, depression with a capital D is kind of defined with certain criteria and symptoms and, you know, basically that there's a real sense of loss of energy, there's a lot of negativity in thinking. There's what we call anhedonia, which is just a lack of motivation for the things you're usually interested in. So, you know, in extreme cases, you can have thoughts of hurting yourself. You know, so I see traits of this, and these kinds of aspects are the things that lead people to call myself or somebody like me for help. People have really tried all they can do on their own before I think they reach out to a professional. It's kind of a last resort for a lot of people, I think. So, but the overwhelming, prevalence of this, certainly in my practices and in other practices, I think also the fact that certain in the Boston area in Massachusetts, I think unlike a lot of other places in the nation, therapy is less stigmatized and is much more commonplace. And I think you see this in the metropolitan areas of the nation. But, you know, so from one point of view, you can say, well, it's great that there are so many people and helping professions around, but the other hand, you say, you know, this is a bleak scenario that there's so much need out there and so many people are needing to reach out to professionals, you know, even reach outside of their families and their churches for help. So I think it's a kind of a double-edged sword to me, but this report, you know, certainly encapsulates what I see on a smaller scale in the microcosm of my practice and the locale here.
Is it a personal, and this is going to sound like such an impossible question to answer, but is it sort of equal parts personal issue, cultural issue? I've never noticed. I'm 55 recently and just had a birthday. It's still so strange to say that I'm 55.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. But I've never noticed the culture encroaching on the lives of the people who operate within it in quite the same way, to the same degree that I see it today. It used to be you could answer your phone, or you could turn on the television or the radio or pick the newspaper up off the front step. Today, it's almost as if you can't get away from the culture. Is that part of the issue, or am I seeing something that's not really there?
Yeah, I think that's certainly part of it. I mean, I guess if I reflect for myself, cutting to the chase, you know, if we take the Catholic perspective here, the reason is a general lack of God in the culture and a increasing separation and moving God to the sidelines and secularization of everything, right? If we believe, again, I think this is something we gloss over sometimes, with there is a psychology and there is a theory of the human person within the Catholic Catechism, right? So that there is a true self designed by God, designed with kind of mechanisms for, discerning and having a relationship with God. And so we're physical and spirit is what the catechism says. You know, it reminds me of this in the tales where there was like a guy that was half man and half horse, you know. So the way we don't think of ourselves with this spirit and that aspect, we're constantly sidelining that, and we're constantly trying to go about our lives, you know, doing things that have nothing to do with it at best, or things that are harmful to it. So I think if we look at it that way, from that perspective, it's no wonder that we're, you know, in such trouble and people are so depressed, because we're so disconnected, not only emotionally but spiritually. So, you know, certainly you see that more and more in the culture, and you see more and more of the, you know, the pushing God out of, right, of places where we used to have him. So.
Well, and we've removed God and declared war on religion. I mean, honestly, it feels like that we are at odds with the government that represents us. And then that has happened at a time when the family is disintegrated. So it feels like something of a psychological perfect storm.
Yeah, and also the separation within the families, too. I think even on a low-key level, that you just have more and more people that are moving away from their families for career and, you know, even just cost of living situations. Just being from New Jersey originally, that news bit about the millennials in New Jersey are, you know, the biggest population not moving out of their homes. But you're seeing this more and more kind of over the country, just the cost of getting by and just what that means. And so one of the ramifications of having the families so splintered and so isolated, something I see very often is a young family with young children or a pregnant mother, you know, on their own out here, you know, separated from family and dealing with, you know, all of the transitional aspects of a new family and new parenting, but they're left on their own and they're searching for childcare and having to form relationships all at the same time. So, you know, I think this cultural aspect of that separation certainly ties into the depression and just the lack of support that people feel and the pressure that they feel.
The feeling of isolation, and you're right, not only from a logistical standpoint when it comes to planning how you're going to take care of your children if you have to be in this place or that place, but when you think of the generational wisdom Dr. Coyle, that so many people have lost. It's really sad. And yet, of course, as you said, we have our faith. And when we come back, we'll talk about the ways as Catholics that we can confront depression, recognize it, and be merciful to those who are dealing with it. And certainly that begins with communication. And Dr. Joseph Coyle, Catholic therapist, will walk us through all of that. His website, if you are in the Boston area, Providence, if you're in Rhode Island, if you're anywhere near Waltham or Norwell, Massachusetts, it's josephcoyle.com. We're talking about depression today. We'll talk about anxiety and the other issues that feed into the depression. You are encouraged to phone in anonymously if that makes it easier for you. The number in the studio is 877-766-3777. That's 877-766-3777. That's the Catholic Order of Forrester listener line. This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life. This is Relevant Radio. Join us.
Morning Air with John Harper and Glenn Leverins.
Talking about what you do in your parish if there's some noise before Mass starts. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning, John and Glenn. We have a pretty sacred space at our church. However, there are things that can't be controlled for, like cell phones. I was at Eucharistic Adoration, and they were singing the Divine Praises, and it was interesting, the dynamic, because someone's cell phone went off right as it said, "Blessed be the name of Jesus," and now insert Star Wars theme here.
Stephen Graydon must have been there. That's I love that.
I just figured it was the good Lord being showy. And
there you
I practically doubled over laughing.
Faith and fun to start your day.
Morning Air with John Harper and Glenn Leverins. 7 Eastern, 6 Central on Relevant Radio.
Talk Radio for Catholic Life.
The incomparable insights of Dr. Peter Kraft are packed into his newest book, and I'm eager to talk with him. I'm Sheila Logvinas, intrigued by the book I Burned for Your Peace, Augustine's Confessions, Unpacked. I love Augustine and Dr. Kraft's books, so this will be good. Then Father Robert Gall is back in Rome and has the latest on Pope Francis and a Vatican presentation Father Gall just did. A closer look, 6 Eastern, 5 Central, here on Relevant Radio.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
I started going back to evangelical churches when I was a youth.
Jacob King from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
Something was missing for me. There was a huge rock band, everything like that. But then I started to go to Catholic Mass, and I was really evangelized by my Catholic grandmother, which showed to me later on in evangelization that you don't have to be the best, the coolest, the brightest. You just have to be joyful and authentic.
Keeping you energized to evangelize. Talk Radio for Catholic Life. Relevant Radio.
Today we honor two early church martyrs who probably never met and who lived across the sea from one another. St. Cornelius was elected pope in 251 and was sent into exile a year later and died from his mistreatment. St. Cyprian became bishop of Carthage in Africa in 249 and was beheaded in 258. So why do we celebrate these two martyrs together on the same day? Hello, I'm Father James Kubicki, the U.S. Director of the Apostleship of Prayer, and I think the answer to that question is that while they were separated physically from one another, they were united in spirit. In fact, a letter that Cyprian wrote to Cornelius still exists, and here's part of it. Cyprian sends greetings to his brother Cornelius. "My dear brother, we have heard of the glorious witness given by your courageous faith. We were filled with such joy that we felt ourselves sharers and companions in your praiseworthy achievements. After all, we have the same church, the same mind, the same unbroken harmony. Let us then remember one another, united in mind and heart. Let us pray without ceasing, you for us, we for you. By the love we share, we shall thus relieve the strain of these great trials." Now, isn't there great wisdom in those words? It's much harder to face suffering alone, but when you know that others are with you, in prayer, in spirit, and in understanding because they are suffering too, then it's easier. That's what the Apostleship of Prayer is all about, as it tries to unite people around the world in prayer for the Holy Father and his special intentions.
For more prayer resources, go to relevantradio.com, keyword pray.
The Relevant Radio toll-free studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about their variety of life insurance options and annuity or retirement plans available at relevantradio.com, keyword COF. This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life. This is Relevant Radio. This is On Call. We are talking today with Dr. Joseph Coyle. He's a regular contributor, and we ask that you pray for Dr. Coyle and his family and his patients, his extended family, his friends, because he gives up a very important hour during his day to you, because he wants to share his expertise with you. If you are struggling with depression, if someone you love is struggling with depression and you are not sure how to go about talking to them about it, the number in the studio, that Catholic Order of Forester listener line, is 877-766-3777. That's 877-766-3777. JosephCoyle.com. Communication is really important with the person who is suffering from depression or the person you suspect might be having some issues. And yet we're a little, I think, leery. We're uncertain how to go about that.
I think you want to take it low key and meet the person where they're at, you know, and look for openings. A lot of times people are sometimes wanting to do too much or feel like, you know, we really have to have a plan here. We really have to have something tangible to show. When sometimes the best thing to do is to really focus on the relationship with the person and just maintaining that and you know, regular contact and support and checking in with them, speaking their language. I think one of the things that I always look to is the way that Jesus in the Gospels, he doesn't deal with people the same way. He deals with people differently based on their needs and based on their personalities. And so, you know, you want to try to really speak the person's language and be able to have them see you as an ally and see them in their corner. And so don't underestimate the impact of that, and don't feel like you have to overdo it or certainly that you have to have the answers or solve their problems. You know, people, you know, really appreciate that support, number one. I think you want to watch for openings, and certainly if people are struggling, there's always this aspect within your own conscience that you feel like sometimes even if they're not talking about a problem that you see in them, or if they're in a little bit of denial about that or a lot of denial about that, there are times when you feel like that you do have to intervene in some way, and it could be on a small scale or a larger scale. But, you know, you use your conscience with that, and I think sometimes I tell people, you know, you want to feel like you can sleep at night feeling that at least you put that out there, and again, you've let them know that you're available for them, you're asking them how they're doing and showing your concern, and if there's anything that you can do. Sometimes people will give you openings themselves, and they'll talk to you about their struggles, and you can use that and align with them on the problem and use that as a doorway, you know.
Right.
And you can always ask them, tell me what you need from me and tell me if I'm overstepping here. If you just want me to be quiet and listen, that's fine, or if you're looking for solutions or resources.
How much is too much?
I think you go by them, you know, and in a situation for me, you know, I'm always really working to ensure that the therapy relationship stays intact. And even if there are things that I notice, if I feel that people are not ready for that, then I'm going to sit on my hands and wait. If I feel that very early on there's some key things that I feel need to be addressed, if I don't feel there's a solid connection with them, I have to sit on my hands and wait. So timing is very important. So, you know, you want to be really reading the person and trying to stay with them. There's a branch of psychology called self-psychology that's really, the whole point is trying to see everything through the other person's eyes and really applying this idea of, you know, honoring your neighbor and caring for your neighbor and you know, getting into their world. So trying to really do that and stay with them, don't get ahead of them. But you're watching body language, you're watching the reactions, you're watching if communication drops off and you say, oh, did I kind of overdo it? You know, all the kind of common sense things that you would do, you know, or even things from them if they say, you know, this is too much or, you know, I don't really want that. I think you really have to listen to them. There's got to be a relationship and there's got to be a connection. You know, you have to stay on the line in order to be of any use to them. So that's always the primary focus.
877-766-3777. Dr. Joseph Coyle is a Catholic therapist in private practice in the Waltham and Norwell areas of the Boston metro area. And his website is josephcoyle.com. We're asking you to phone in. We're not taking names today because we respect your privacy. We understand that this is a very difficult issue to address on a nationwide radio platform. So please phone in. Don't wait until the end of the hour. 877-766-3777. We had an anonymous caller who was unable to go on the air, but she wanted to know, Dr. Coyle, how to help her son who has PTSD. He has shut some family members out. He's also dealing with some anxiety issues.
Sure. You know, PTSD is very complex. It's complex to treat it. So, you know, you want to operate within your capacity. You know, you don't want to take on more than you can. Again, I would start very basically on just focusing on the connection, focusing on the relationship, watching for signs within the house. If you're seeing more isolation, then you're making a point of checking in more. You're looking for any things that the person would normally enjoy. What are their hobbies? What are their interests? Usually, any ways to get conversation going there, any ways to kind of bring them out of themselves, any social things to be doing. But, you know, with PTSD, there's a significant trauma that's gone on, and the person can be re-experiencing that or having thoughts about that they're having real trouble getting out of their heads. They can be having nightmares and just feeling plagued by certain things. It's very important with someone that's been through a trauma that you really empower them and make them feel like they're running the show and they have the reins on what they want to talk about, when they're ready to talk about it, how much. I really make a point of that very early on with people that have a picture like that, that I'm not going to make you talk about anything or do anything that you're not comfortable doing. Again, that's something that's going to dismantle the connection between us, and I'm not going to see them again. They're not going to come back. So, you know, you want to tread lightly and you want to take their lead. Don't be so smart. I had a supervisor that said that in the past, that you don't have to have it solved, and you can ask them questions. Look, I'm thinking that this might be helpful, but I don't want to burden you. I don't want to overstep. Is this okay? Do you want me to check in with you? You really want to tread lightly and just show them that you're looking for to be helpful. In cases where you feel there's a real aspect or you have a concern about that they're thinking of, you know, these kind of dangerous things of self-harm, that's kind of a different story, and you want to, you know, potentially check in with a professional yourself and get some guidance on, you know, the landscape and what are some strategies there effectively. But PTSD is a kind of anxiety. It's kind of its own animal. But anxiety in general, you know, you're looking to help the person, you know, kick themselves out of these loops that they can get stuck in as far as negative thinking or worrying. So, you know, you're always tailoring it to their specific situation.
And for the caller who was unable to go on the air, if you would like to listen to Dr. Coyle and all of the helpful information he just shared, we urge all of you to go on our website and find our on-call show page. And then just take advantage of the archives, and that way you can take notes at your leisure when you're not driving or busy with other activities. When we come back, we'll find out why depression seems to, it looks so very different for so many different people with Dr. Joseph Coyle. We'll be back. This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life. This is Relevant Radio.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I've been taking 4 a day of the fruits and vegetables, and I have hypogammaglomeruria. Basically, you have antibodies in your body, IgA, IgM, and IgG. And somewhere along the line, my body stopped making them. So I don't have any resistance to infection. But I've been taking fruits and vegetables since we started, which I think is well over a year now. And the doctor can't believe that I've not had infections and flus. And he told me, whatever I'm doing, keep doing. So that's what I'm doing.
Call now to find out how to get your free month supply of Balance of Nature. Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code RELEVANT.
It's so simple, it's almost embarrassing, but my simple exercise was...
Father Pat McGrath.
I wanted the first thing I said every morning and the last thing I said every night to be simply, thank you, Jesus, so that it would frame my day in gratitude. And I got to tell you, when I'm faithful to that very, very simple opening prayer of the day and closing prayer of the evening or the night, it changes everything, that awareness of what God is doing in my life. Think about all those encounters that Jesus has with folks in the gospel. And of all the things they must have been feeling as Jesus came close and Jesus invited them or Jesus healed them or Jesus called them to follow him, or as he does with everyone, as Jesus missions them to go do something new in their life because they've met him, there had to be in the evening reflection for each of those people as they looked back on the day when they met Jesus. I suspect that a big part of their prayer that night was a prayer of gratitude.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant radio.
Rory's an incredibly fit young man in training with the Marines. One of his comrades is flat-out chubby. During training, they had to do 60 burpees in 8 minutes. If you don't know what that is, Google it. It's a painful exercise. Marines were snickering at Rory's friend, and he was about to give up. Rory got right in his face and shouted above all the other voices, "You look at me. All you see is me. All you hear is my voice. You can do this." And he did. A week later, Rory's commander gave him the challenge. "Everyone do 60 burpees in 8 minutes. Rory, you do 80 burpees in 6 minutes. At the end of his strength and unable to go on, his friend ran out of nowhere to his side. "Rory, you look at me. You can do this." And he did. When life's exhausting you and negative voices cause self-doubt to creep in, Jesus is there at your side shouting at you, "You listen to me. All you hear is me. All you see is me. You can do this." Listen to him, friends. This is Chris Stefanik. For more, visit RelevantRadio.com, keyword Real Life Catholic.
Giving voice to our shepherds, Relevant Radio. Archbishop Jerome Listecki.
What does it say? Go into the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. An urgency to make sure that this message that is given to us of the love of God through Jesus Christ is offered to everyone. And maybe in our complacent society, where we take things for granted, we need to be more intentional about that, about who we are, what's been given to us, and the grace of taking that Jesus life seriously into our relationships that we encounter. Take that Christ into the world. Take that charge seriously and offer hope to a world that is lost.
Giving voice to our shepherds. Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant Radio.
We want to pray with you and for you. You can share your prayer request with us at relevantradio.com. Simply click on the prayer request button or call 888-577-5443. All of your prayer requests are kept anonymous and are prayed for individually before the Most Blessed Sacrament.
Thank you.
JosephCoyle.com. That's the website if you are in the Boston metro area. He is in private practice in Waltham and Norwell. He is a Catholic therapist in private practice. He joins us regularly. And today we're talking about a World Health Organization report released just within the last 48 hours, which says that the United States is one of the most depressed nations in the world. And it's behind China and India, and what it does, that depression does to the quality of life for the person who is dealing with it. Please don't wait until the end of the hour. We're taking all calls anonymously today at 877-766-3777. But if you suspect that someone in your life is dealing with depression, if you are dealing with depression, please phone in for Dr. Coyle. He wants to speak with as many of you as possible. Before the break, I was saying that depression doesn't always look the same, does it, Dr. Coyle? It can strike at any time of life. There are some people, I'm sure, who can cover it up very well or deal with it. There are others who simply can't. Does that make it difficult as a clinician for you to know exactly what you're looking for, what you're looking at, and what does that do to the layperson who's looking for signs and symptoms?
I try to keep things simple and try to go with the problem that the person is coming to me about, and to a large extent, the particular label that you give it is not important as understanding the meaning of it for the person, understanding, as you're saying, well, what it looks like for this specific person and what the, what does it symbolize sometimes. A lot of times depression can be a manifestation that either there is a real lack of something in their life that they very much want. You can have a grief process about something that has been there and is not there anymore, which can go in a number of different directions. Or you can have the other side of the fence, which is that there's something in their lives that is very difficult and troubling, that they're having trouble with, that they want to kind of get rid of or excise in some way. So, you know, understanding and listening to what the symptoms are telling you in some ways before you rush to stamp them out. Even from a spiritual point of view, when you add that faith perspective to it, many times you find that people become depressed when they're on the cusp of something as far as a growth personally or spiritually. I find that people sometimes when they come to the other side of it say that they feel that God was asking them for something that they weren't ready to admit or acknowledge or take on. People can really have fears about what am I going to look like, number one, if I let go of this thing that I've been holding on to my whole life, or if I embark on something that's new that I don't really know what that entails. So you can have these complexities there, you know. So, but I think you're trying to understand the person's story and how this fits in and why at this particular point is this problem there. So that's certainly one side of it. As you say, it can look very differently. I find the exception, not the rule, is that you can have chemical factors going on. I think our culture really pushes that is the rule and not the exception. And, you know, for my lens or the population that I serve, that chemical aspect is certainly important to consider. But for me, the overwhelming majority of cases that I see or situations that I see, there's really something that the person has to work to get their arms around on a deeper level, and you know, the medication alone helps you. It helps you turn the volume down of it, but it usually doesn't solve it. So you're looking for something done in conjunction. If you're using medication, please, you know, keep taking it and see it as useful. But there's these other aspects to consider as far as how this fits in and what the meaning of it is for you in your point in time.
It's 22 minutes before the hour. Dr. Joseph Coyle, Catholic therapist in private practice in Waltham and Norwell, Massachusetts, in the Boston metro area, is here today. We're talking about depression. JosephCoyle.com. Let's go to Anonymous on line 5. Hi, Anonymous. Welcome to Relevant Radio. You're on the air with Dr. Coyle.
Hello, good afternoon to both of you. I'm calling because I have a couple conditions. I do have anxiety along with depression, and I have PTSD and OCD, and I go to Mass every day. I pray a lot to get me through. I am in therapy, and I also see a psychiatrist, which I am on medications for, which I hate taking because I have the side effects. But is there hope that I could ever feel better or overcome this or be cured before I die? I know that doesn't, I may sound drastic, but sometimes it's, I get to the point where like I wonder if, you know, this will end, and I have high hopes that it will, but I don't know where it's ever going to lead me. And my mother always said I was coming for a reason when she had me, and when she carried me, she was pregnant with me. And my mother did pass away a year ago, and I do have very strong faith. That all my therapists in the past for years that I've been in therapy for, I'm 51 years old, they've said that my faith is very strong. Sometimes when I fall, I feel like I fail, and I don't have that strong of a faith because I don't want to fall. And my one inspiration is Mother Teresa, who recently passed away, and I feel like a calling, if you will, that that alone can help me out of my illnesses. And I just hope I'm on the right track. It's taking a long time. I've been this way for, as I said, I'm 51 years old, and I'm married with 5 children, so I have a lot in my life going on, and I just want to know if this is going to be remaining. Is it, it's going to take so long to recover, especially with trauma.
Yep.
It's really hard. A lot of times I want to rush through it. I just want to, one day I can be fine, one moment I can be fine, and all of a sudden it just comes out from nowhere. And
yep.
I feel like my faith was not strong enough. Why did I have these impulses? Why did I get these thoughts?
Dr. Coyle, you've given him a lot of terrific and I know very helpful information. Encouragement for this caller.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very sorry for your loss, first of all, and it's great that your faith is so strong. Absolutely, you should be hopeful and believing that you're going to get to the other side of these things. PTSD and OCD are very debilitating, but they're very treatable as well. And, you know, what I say to most people is one thing that's really important is having a picture of yourself and a vision of yourself that you're moving toward, devoid of these things that you're struggling with. There needs to be some belief right out of the gate that you can do it. Because if there's not that, then you're fighting against that the whole time. And sometimes people are referring to the scripture about, you know, pick up your cross and follow me, and they're ascribing that to their mental health issues and saying, well, this is what God intends for me, or it must be because it's been there for so long. And I'm always kind of jumping up and down saying, you know, don't do that. Don't apply that to this. This is something that's not life-giving, and God has work for you to do that is. So definitely bring all your ammunition behind that and be able to picture yourself. What will you look like? What would you be doing if you weren't dealing with this? If so much of your energy wasn't tied up in these things, what would you be doing with that energy? What would your thought life be like if it wasn't getting stuck on these patterns or in these rituals or the different things that you might experience, the negative memories and things like that? What would you look like if you didn't have those, if you weren't depressed, if the vitality was there? Again, get back to the design and the true self, you know, who are you really? Because it's really important not to, you know, you don't want to deny that these things are going on, but you don't want to over-identify them and saying, this is part of my personality, it's who I am, because I don't think that's consistent with what we believe. So using your faith there to throw at that is really important. Remember Jesus telling the people, your faith has healed you, you know, which you can look at and say there's got to be some belief that you can get better and that God wants you better to start with. Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble, and it's going to be difficult for anybody to really help you. So I think you're really on the right track as far as the faith and with that perspective. I really think you need to take these things one at a time. You might consider, you know, certainly in your work, really honing in on, with these anxieties, the specific things, the specific thoughts. If you're not doing that, make a hierarchy, make a list, go at them one at a time. And a lot of times if you get one of them, you get a whole class of them. But you really want to be deliberate about that, and certainly taking the lead from your providers, but also, you know, being honest with them about what's helpful and not. I'm always trying to avoid this pattern of, you know, people can just feel like they need to be coming for therapy for months and years and so forth, and then the treatment plan gets lost over time. What exactly are you focusing on? So you really, it might be a good time for a kind of an update on that, and really drilling down into the specific things that you're really struggling with day to day, that are, you know, that you would say, God, if I could get rid of these three things, that would be like 50% of it right there. But absolutely, that you challenge those thoughts that, you know, this is going to be how it is, or this is kind of all there is for you. You need that.
She's 51 years old, Dr. Coyle. How often do, you know, people explore the physical side of what's going on, you know, in their bodies, you know, that it could be exacerbated, aggravated by thyroid or hormones or that type of thing? Is that something that should be explored in addition to obviously seeking, seeking out a proper mental health professional?
Sure. You cover all your bases and throw the kitchen sink at it. Absolutely. So I think she has a balanced approach to that, the fact that she's got the medical side covered with the psychiatrist, she's got the therapy side covered, she's got the faith perspective. If there's, you know, you want to be checking in with your primary care doctor yearly and ruling out hormonal or, endocrine kinds of contributors there. So absolutely you want to be savvy about all of that. It's all important. And again, just really overhauling everything and covering every possibility is key. I think for, you know, you can say someone in their 50s, but I give this advice to everybody that you should always have the medical side ruled out, mm-hmm. certainly for me, so that we're not chasing down something and assuming it's psychological when there's some medical underpinning.
But she sounded almost as if she's beating herself up for every instance of maybe feeling, you know, the anxiety or the depression, and somehow turning it into some kind of a proclamation or a statement about her lack of faith. That's something that she should absolutely not do. We're all fallen. We're all, you know, we're all imperfect, correct?
We're all struggling, and some of the anxieties that she's talking about, a lot of times people have issues around perfectionism that can maintain the problems, and that's something that you really want to put some ammunition behind as something that is insidious and often not apparent that it's there, but it's something that is a real barrier to healing for a lot of people. So that's a good insight.
Dr. Joseph Coyle, josephcoyle.com. That is his website, Anonymous on Line 5. Please pray for Anonymous on Line 5. We need to take a quick break, and we will be moving on to Anonymous on Line 6. You've been patiently waiting. We will be coming your way right after this brief commercial message.
This is the Jubilee Year of Mercy. Archbishop Joseph Kurtz, president of the USCCB.
I'm amazed at the amount of conflict that was part of the public ministry of Jesus. And yet, he consistently had the ability to call forth a higher level, to reach out and see that person in need. Our Holy Father says that mercy needs to be visceral, almost the way in which a good mom or a good dad, feeling concern about one of their children in need, feels it at the very pit of their stomachs. And our need to rise above political phrase, to see the moral dimensions in people is especially true today in our own culture, to see, as Pope Francis says consistently, see the person first, see the person in front of you, and make sure that decisions we're making are affecting real life people.
Learn more about the Jubilee Year of Mercy at relevantradio.com, keyword Jubilee.
I started going back to evangelical churches when I was a youth.
Jacob King from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
Something was missing for me. There was a huge rock band, everything like that. But then I started to go to Catholic Mass, and I was really evangelized by my Catholic grandmother, which showed to me later on in evangelization that you don't have to be the best, the coolest, the brightest. You just have to be joyful and authentic.
Keeping you energized to evangelize. Talk Radio for Catholic Life. Relevant Radio.
This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life.
John Harper of Morning Air.
We talk about solutions. We look at the issues of the day, both nationally and around the globe, through the filter of the truth of the Church. We have fun and marry it with faith. And we take you all around the world to meet some of the best people that you'll ever want to hear on the radio to help you in your faith journey. That's what we do here on Morning Air.
Morning Air with John Harper, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern, 6 Central on Relevant Radio.
This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life. This is Relevant Radio, and we're visiting today on this on-call program with Dr. Joseph Coyle. He's a Catholic therapist in private practice in the Boston area in Waltham and Norwell. He has two offices, the website josephcoyle.com. Patiently waiting. Anonymous on line 6. I hope you didn't celebrate another birthday while you were waiting. Thank you so much for holding. You're on the air with Dr. Coyle.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Coyle. And I pray for that nice lady. She sounds like she's really gone through a tough time. Mm-hmm. I hope she gets her breakthrough. My problem is somewhat similar to hers. I've had a lot of worry / anxiety / depression, and it kind of came out of the blue about 5 or 6 months ago, and it just seemed to snowball, get worse and worse and worse. They had me on Lexapro. I've seen a psychologist. It didn't seem to really help. And the other thing I noticed is I'm having real issues with sleep, which adds to the problem, where I just can't sleep at night. And it seems like I have no refuge or no place to heal or recover. So they also have me taking a small amount of Klonopin to help me relax at night and to try to sleep. I guess my question to you, Doctor, and I am definitely also very, faith is extremely important to me, and I pray, you know, and I pray to God for his mercy and his healing. And I guess you just have to be patient. Is that really the only answer with this thing?
Well, patience is certainly one aspect of it. I'm certainly sorry to hear about all this. I would really want to take a good detective approach as to what happened or what was going on, and I'm not asking you to share that here, but just as far as taking a look at 5 months ago and what that meant or what was going on, or even over the past year, what kind of changes in your life, even if you think they were minor ones, or if it's not clear that they're contributing to what you're experiencing, I would want to understand why now, why is this coming up now, and how that makes sense for you. Another question generally would be, you know, has there been any time in your life that you felt something similar to this? And maybe it's not been for a while, but even if it's something way back, has there been something that this is similar to or this is reminiscent of? Many times you can have things surface, and there's unconscious things going on as far as similarities to old stuff or things. There's different struggles in different phases of our lives that we go through, and those can bring on different responses. So I think just getting a sense for yourself within your own story, where are you, what chapter are you on, and what's going on, you know, for yourself on all the levels, you know, and even within the faith, you know, how has that been a real asset to you? Where are you faith-wise? Have there been changes or things there? You know, the question of what's God doing here and what's going on. Many times people can be, as we said before, needing to grow in a certain way or getting stuck on something that, you know, say part of them knows that they need to change something or add something that's needed, but are resistant to do that. So looking at those sides. suicides are important, in addition to all the medical things that we've talked about and Wendy mentioned as well, on, you know, covering your bases on all those kinds of things. When you have sleep difficulties, there's some kind of unrest. So what is it about? What are you upset about? What is there on a more 10,000-foot view of your life that you're worried about? A lot of times there can be worries about health or meaning or, just mortality. These deeper kinds of things can be around the corner when you have unrest during your sleep. So those would be things to look at as well, in addition to some of the things we talked about around depression and anxiety, too.
We thank you very much for the phone call, Anonymous, and we thank you for your patience in getting to you. And as you are praying for the previous caller and everyone else listening is praying for you, Anonymous on line 6. Let's go to Anonymous on line 5. Anonymous, hi. Welcome to Relevant Radio. You're on the air with Dr. Joseph Coyle.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My issue that I'm having is, when I was a child, around 10 or 12, I was diagnosed with ADD. And then as I got older, my diagnosis changed to bipolar. And so now my son was diagnosed with ADD. He's 10. My concern is that he, as he ages, his diagnosis will change to bipolar as well. So is there any sort of evidence or anything of that nature that shows that that's a probability?
There is, bipolar, the first thing to say is that my opinion on bipolar is that it's very overdiagnosed and misdiagnosed. So that's to give you some ability to relax, and the same for ADD as well, by the way. Within studies of folks that really truly have the bipolar symptoms and meet the criteria, this is one of the well-studied disorders where there is a sense of a genetic component, and there's been evidence when you have bipolar in the mother, there is a probability or a likelihood of things being transmitted to the children. So you're wise to be on the lookout for it, and I think you want to be watching signs. I think you're kind of in the unique position of saying, for myself, here's the way things went, here are the certain struggles that I had, here are the certain ages that certain things happened. You want to be watching for, you know, changes in mood and ups and downs and agitation and so forth. And I think the fact that you're on the lookout for it is great. So, sure. As with anything, when a parent has it, there's a good chance of a child having it. So you want to be wise about that, and not in denial about that, and plugging into resources as soon as you can. Right. So even with things like ADD, for example, doing evaluations there to really tease out what the strengths and weaknesses are cognitively and attentionally can be really helpful. The same with a mood disorder or other kinds of issues like that. You can get a profile that can give you some kind of guidance on the different struggles that might be going on now or might be likely to show themselves in the future, and there can be ways that you can intervene or look at your parenting approach that can really be helpful and really hit the ground running with that. So having some kind of evaluation or assessment, if you haven't done that, of him, you may have done that already for the ADD, but they usually include kind of an emotional profile there as well that can be helpful just to give you some guidance there. And that you're feeling like you can reach out to someone for even a consultation just to get a read on that. What's the likelihood of something developing, or how is he within the normal range of certain things? What do we need to watch for mood-wise? But so that's kind of the more objective or scientific answer. But I think, again, when you come to the faith side of it, you want to really rely on your maternal instinct, and you want to be relying on prayer and the faith and hope, not just that it's bleak, but that the Lord is with you, and don't forget about healing.
And I'm sorry we couldn't take the other calls. Anonymous, I urge you, if you want to listen to Dr. Coyle's advice again, go through our archives and listen at your leisure. JosephCoyle.com. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. Drew is next. And oh, what a fun show it's going to be, you constitutional scholars.
This hour of On Call on listener-supported Relevant Radio. For information on guests and topics, go to RelevantRadio.com and enter keyword Wendy. That's RelevantRadio.com. Keyword Wendy.